The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
All right, everybody up on your feet, please, and speak with me this declaration. Lord, you have given me your peace. I will not let my heart be troubled. Neither will I let it be afraid. I will not let myself be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, or unsettled in anything. Instead of worrying, I will pray. My praises turn my worries into faith. Thank you for guiding me, guarding me, keeping me in perfect peace. I let peace rule. I let Christ rule. The Word rules. I am worry-free. Amen. Tell two or three people, I am worry-free. Hallelujah. I don't walk in worry or fear. I am free of that. Praise God. You can be seated. The Bible says that there's no temptation taken us, which is such as common to man, and that God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able, but with also with the temptation make a way to escape. Say that with me. A way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there is a way to escape everything that you face. There is a way out of every dilemma that you'll find yourself in. We just have to begin to look around us and locate the way. Now remember this, Jesus said what? I am the and the life. He is the way. So I know that if I need a way out of where I'm at, I got to find the way. I know that Jesus is the way and Jesus is the Word. So therefore, in the Word has to be enough material, tools to put together and get me out of the situation that I'm in. Amen? If he said he's the way, and there is a way in every dilemma or every problem I'm ever going to face, I just can't grow weary in looking for the way. I've got to make sure I locate it. Now, I can't locate it outside the kingdom. See, oftentimes, here's what we want to do. We want to locate the way out outside of his kingdom. But there's only one way, and that's in the kingdom. The way is in the kingdom. So if I'm looking out there outside in the world, if I'm trying to find things in the natural realm, I'm going to wear myself out. I'm going to labor trying to get free, trying to get my money back, trying to get my marriage together, trying to get my body healed, and I'm eventually going to give up. Have you ever been there? But when you look for it in the way, when you look for it in the kingdom, when you look for it in the Word, it's much easier. Now, I've got a little clip prepared back there. Hopefully it's going to work after that other situation. But you guys ready for it back there, Tristan? You remember the old show? Well, matter of fact, just let's watch it. Let's see what happens up here.
So it figured he had all the windows and doors either booby-trapped or covered by the guns outside. But maybe I could make myself a set of wheels that draw his fire and get me out of this homemade prison.
I'm listening to your symphony, MacGyver. Oh, I still make the end.
When I was a kid, I used to build model planes with rubber band motors. I discovered batteries. It sure did increase the mileage.
Well,
How many remember MacGyver? Okay, you're showing your age. But he always had a way out of a situation that he found himself in. He located the material necessary to put together to open up an opportunity for him to succeed. I mean, if he was in a locked room and he couldn't get out the door, he took the hinges off the door. If he couldn't figure out how to make an explosive with what materials he had, he began to use his mind and think about the various properties that could be put together that were just natural elements, and suddenly, bam, he had an explosion. Now, that's in the natural, but I want to relate that to the spiritual. I want us to understand tonight that we've got to stop laboring in this world and start laboring in the Word. And recognize that in that book that you hold in your lap, how many brought a Bible tonight? Hold that up, let me see it. Okay, wow, look at all those words. All right, that Bible that you have in your hand, that's in your lap, is raw material. It has within those pages every element necessary to assemble together to somehow make a way out, to locate the way out. But we've got to stop toiling in this world. Go to Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. And Jesus was talking about not toiling and not spinning and not laboring, you know, but realizing that your Father in heaven cares for you and that He's going to meet all of your needs. And He says about the word toil in there, it means this: to work, to labor, to give effort, to become tired, and to grow weary. Let's look at that for a minute. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. They spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Now Solomon had a lot of glory. He had a lot of natural glory. Matter of fact, to his kingdom was added something like 4,700 tons of gold per year. Now he reigned 40 years. Gold was so plentiful in his kingdom. Silver was considered as nothing, like stones, because of the amount of gold that was in his kingdom. But here the scripture says, the lily doesn't toil in the natural to reach its level of splendor. And its glory is greater than all of Solomon's. Now think about that for a moment. Now, was it in what we can behold, or was it in how it was achieved? There is a life in this world for you and me that Jesus Christ gave us that we don't have to labor for. We don't have to toil in. Galatians 6 and 9 says this: "Don't grow weary." Now that means to give up and become discouraged and lose heart. "In well-doing." Everybody say well-doing. Now well-doing is important. It means good or right or correctness. See, we're going to grow weary in trying to get things to come together ourselves. You're going to get worn out. But don't grow weary in the right thing. Don't grow weary in the Word. And I believe today there are too many believers who have become word weary. We really don't, we're not convinced anymore that the Bible can make a way out for us. We're not convinced any longer that the Word of God brought together under the leading of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of God can be explosive, can take a door off, can create a way out where there is no way. And we become word weary. We kind of give up. So if we labor or we toil and we're feeling wearisome tonight, maybe we've been laboring in the wrong field. Maybe we've been working in the wrong field. In Luke chapter 12 again, look at verse 29. Jesus said this. He said, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Then look at verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, I just have to submit to us tonight. I think the average Christian is working real hard for meat and material things and clothing and amassing all kinds of stuff, but we're not seeking the kingdom of God the same way we seek after material things in this world. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, meaning your food and your clothing and your housing and your cars and all the vacations you want and the second home and the third home and the trip to Europe and all these other things. You say, wait a minute, I'd love to have that. Stop seeking that, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. See, it's when we get them reversed, it's when we get them out of priority, that we begin to wear down, we begin to wear out, we begin to toil and labor in this world. See, our work or our labor must be focused on the right kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And he also said this, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come on to me and I'll give you rest. He said in Matthew chapter 11, I think it's verse 28, he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what was he trying to tell us? He was saying, if you come into the right kingdom and seek for the components, or put your finger on the way, locate the way in my kingdom, it'll be a sweatless victory. It'll be an easy thing. And you won't have to labor like you would if you start seeking for it outside of this kingdom. And I believe today we have been kind of just convinced that if we put all of our effort in it, if we just do everything ourselves, we can make it happen. Because we're Americans. We're Westerners. We really think because of our education, because of our financial backing, because of all of our knowledge, that we can accomplish it without the kingdom. And people today in record numbers are wearing out. People are under stress. People are dying young. People are fighting themselves on alcohol and drugs because they can't take the pressure anymore. I believe the Christian life ought to be pressure-free. It ought to be worry-free. It ought to be a glorious experience where we're thinking, my goodness, I feel guilty because I'm so happy. We ought to have the joy of the Lord every day in our life. Go to John chapter 6 and look at verse 28. It's an interesting scripture because I believe the world saw this in Jesus. They began to observe how he operated in the kingdom. And if you could just do that study throughout the Gospels, you'd find some amazing truth. Jesus operated in a certain degree in this world, and we can begin to pattern or identify how he operated. But this is one of the questions that came to him in verse 28 of John chapter 6. And they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They were saying, Jesus, you're awesome, man. You're doing miracles. You're multiplying bread. You're feeding thousands. You're raising the dead. You're healing the sick. And you're putting it to the religious people of the day. And they're trying to throw you off a hill. They can't catch you. Man, you're awesome. How do you do the works of God? Show us how to do the works of God. That was their question. And in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Are you ready for this? This is the work of God. What's the rest of that scripture? That ye believe on him whom he has sent. Wait a minute. You mean the work, W-O-R-K, which I define as energy depleted, effort has to be given, engaging something that's trying to resist you. That's my mindset in regards to what work is. And Jesus said, this is the work of God that you believe. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, now this is an upside down kingdom here. I'm talking about up is down and down is up and in is out and out is in. And wait a minute, Jesus, say that one more time. How do we work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God that you believe in him who has sent me. He said, I want you to understand your labor is in belief. Labor how to believe. Work at believing. Isn't that cool? Now, when you think about it, how do you work at believing? Well, then the only way I know to believe is to have faith. And I'm thinking, well, how in the world do I have faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So I realize I've got to get into that Bible, I've got to get into that Word, and I've got to locate the way out. I've got to assemble the Word of God together. I've got to begin to work that Word so I begin to believe. And when I believe, work comes automatically. The works of God is awesome. Jesus was trying to teach His disciples. He said, look, don't focus on what is produced. Focus on how it was produced. Because they went on in there, look in that scripture, John chapter 6. It went on to say, then they said unto Him, what sign showest us then that we may see and believe thee? He said, no. You guys have gotten it. You're getting it all wrong. Don't look for the sign. Look for how the sign came. You all just want bread. You saw me feed these 5,000 and your stomach was full, and now you want to follow me. Don't follow me because of what I produce. Follow me because you see how I produce it. And isn't that the Christians in this generation? We just want to get to the place because we see the miracles happening, and we want to go to the crusades, or we want to come to the great camp meeting because so-and-so is going to be there, or we want to go to this Bible study because they've been seeing angels, and we want to go over there, but you know, we're not really interested in how that happened.
Right.
We're interested in just it happening. We just want to eat. We just want to participate. I want to get touched. I want to get blessed. I want to bounce around too on the floor like everybody else. Come on, pray for me. No, forget that. Because that comes and that goes. Teach me how.
Amen.
Teach me how. How do you do the works of God? And so Jesus said, this is how you do the works of God. Look at it with me one more time in John chapter 6. That you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Jesus said to focus in on the right labor. Look at verse 27. He said, focus in on the right labor. Labor not for the meat which perishes. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes in the using. But strive, work, and produce rather for the lasting food which endures continually unto eternal life. The Son of Man will give, furnish you that. For God the Father has authorized and certified and put His seal of endorsement upon Him. God has authorized, deputized, endorsed, certified Jesus to be able to produce every need that you have. Whew! God said, okay, it's all in Him.
Yeah.
Well, if it's in Him, it's in the Word, because Him and the Word are one and the same. So now I'm realizing, man, I'm over here trying to make this thing happen on my own. What I've got to do is work on believing. I've got to work on locating the place in the Scripture. I've got to be a MacGyver in the Word. I've got to come up with rubber bands and mixer spoons, and I've got to take off the hinges, and I've got to figure out all these components. I've got to get in this Bible and take one verse and connect it with the other verse and put that verse with that verse, and whew, let belief begin to well up in my spirit and faith arise. Because when faith comes, it produces rest. Rest, which is the promised land of God, of which flows the abundance of God, the bounty of God, the blessing of God. Church, you and I need to start laboring in this Word. We need to be Word people, crazed over this Bible, over what God said. Now, in verse 33, same chapter, John chapter 6, look at it with me. Jesus went on to say, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. What were they looking for? They were looking for some more food. They were looking for some more meals, something to be fed, something to meet their need. I just want my need met, Jesus. He said, quit looking for the bread. Quit looking for the production of what comes as a result of me being here, figure out how that happens. And it's in me. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And of course, you know, we find that out in Matthew, Luke chapter 4, where he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I got to get focused in this world. I got to get focused in my Christian life. I can't revert to the natural. I can't revert to my mind. My mind has been trained to try to work things out for myself. And you know, a lot of us, we become independent. We become self-sufficient. We can become self-contained, and we think we can work it out ourselves. You know, it's like a little two-year-old. You could feed that baby up until the time they're about two, and then all of a sudden they want the spoon. Right? They want to do it themselves, and pretty soon they want to get dressed themselves, and they'll wrestle with it, and they'll get all tangled up in that shirt, and you try to help them, and they'll start screaming, and they'll cry. It's just natural for us to want to do it ourselves. It's part of the nature of which we were born. And God said, don't try to do it yourself. Let me do it. But you got to labor not in what you can do. Labor in what I'll produce. Labor in belief. Labor in belief. Lord, increase my belief. Lord, how do I get my belief level up? If we were to take an assessment tonight and figure out on a scale of 1 to 10 where you are you a 3? Are you an 8? Are you a 10? Are you a 5? Where are you in your belief? You know, there's going to be challenges to your belief every day. We were in a sad situation today. I'm telling you, it was sad. We were at a funeral of a 22-year-old young man. That's a tough thing, man. That'll set you back on your heels. But I recognize something about that experience. That has nothing to do about my belief. That doesn't affect my belief because it's not in that kingdom. I've got to learn how to separate what's in the kingdom and what's not in the kingdom. That's part of this world. That's part of the laws of this world. You get up on this building, it's about 40 feet high, and jump off. Guess what? The law of gravity will grab you and take you right down to the ground. I don't care how much you confess that Jesus is going to save you. Right? I don't know what's happening with this microphone, but it's kind of rumbling. Is that me? Maybe you could take the... It's too hot. Maybe turn it down a little bit. Maybe I'll turn it... All right, maybe that'll work. I'll put it down a little bit. Let's try that. But we've got to make sure that we don't get into the outside of the kingdom of God. Say, well, is this part of the kingdom? No, that's not part of the kingdom. We don't want to start mixing the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. You know, people always say things like, must have been the will of God. How can you say that? Have you read the Bible? This, my friend, is the will of God. Amen. He said, well, it must have been the will of God. No, no, you're taking the kingdom of this world and you're mixing it with God's kingdom. And yeah, that's not going to work. We're not going to be able to produce anything from that. We're going to labor and labor in that until we burn out, until we grow weary and we quit because we say, God's word doesn't work. Well, of course it doesn't work. It doesn't work when it's mixed. You and I can't mix the thing, all right? All right, let's look back at the scripture in John. He said in verse 27 of John chapter 6, lost my place there. He said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So God said, I want you to work, I want you to toil, but not for the things that come automatically. Labor, toil, for belief. Work hard at every day. Get on the job of the word. Get on the job. Clock in. Labor for that. And then all these things will be added unto you. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4. See, the work of God is belief. And the way we activate our faith is to work our belief. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now we're saying, okay, we're called to labor in belief. Now we're called to labor to enter the rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Okay, here we go. Now we understand. There's a succession here. We know that we've been called to labor for belief. I got to work to get my belief up, my belief level up. So I work at that. I don't work at trying to keep everything together, pay my bills and all that. Now I've got to be a good steward over my life. But I'm talking about I've got to work and labor in the Word so I can get a higher belief level. But then, watch this. He said, what I want to do is I want to go a little higher. Once my belief level is there, I want to translate that into faith, which will ultimately result in rest. But notice you never get to rest if your belief level wanes. Because unbelief keeps you out of rest. Do you see that? Look at verse 11 again. I'm going to read in the Amplified Bible. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience unto which those in the wilderness fell. Now look at verse 12. I'm going to read it in the King James. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The labor referred to here is belief or faith. Labor in faith in order to enter in a worry-free existence. I really believe, Christians, we've got to get to a place where we don't worry. We're not worried about anything. We're not worried. So aren't you worried? No. Well, why not? Because I've labored in my belief. I've got my belief level up at the point where worry can't exist in belief. Worry is contrary to belief. So if I'm in worry, my belief must be low. You get what I'm saying? So if I'm worrying about my health, oh, I wonder if I'm going to die like my parents. Oh, I wonder if I'm going to get an automobile accident. Oh, I'm worried about this. I must be low on belief. So I've got to work on my belief to get it up so that worry can't enter into my life. You know, worry will kill you. Worry will stress you out. Have you ever had thoughts that come from the devil about your spouse or children dying? It just comes to my mind. I'm running or something, you know, and Tina was gone for a couple of days with the kids. They had a little girls outing, and I hadn't heard from them all day, and a thought came into my mind. I'm going to get a call, and something terrible is going to happen. And I said, where'd that come from? That's the devil. I can't let that come into my mind. And he's trying to get me to worry about that. Worry to the point where I stop what I'm doing to assure myself that they're okay. So I break what I'm doing, make a phone call to find out, hey, you guys okay? Yeah, you're okay. Okay, good. Now I can go back to where I was at. No. I'm not breaking what I'm doing. I'm not getting off track. I take that thought captive. I run it through the ringer of belief and faith, and I squeeze it the life out of it. And I go on in my day. Because that's how the enemy comes to try to distract us. And to do what? Not labor in faith, but start laboring in our works. You guys okay? I just had this terrible thought. I was wondering, you all right? I mean, is everything okay? Yeah, everything's okay. Oh, man, that's good. No, I don't have to call to find that out. I don't have to labor to get assurance from that. I just go into my belief system. I just begin to quote the Word of God that talks about the covering of the Holy Spirit. It talks about the hedge of protection about me, and that we walk in covenant, and that there is no weapon formed against us that can prosper. And devil, you're a liar, and I'm going to bind you up right now and cast you out of here. Glory to God! And I just keep on going my way. I'm going to labor. If I'm going to worry, if I'm going to toil, rather, I'm going to toil in the Word. I'm not going to toil in the natural. That's where He wants you. He wants you toiling in the natural. Oh, I got to save up some more money. No. I don't have to save money. I got to find some place to give money. Because I know how this kingdom works. Whatever man sows, he's also going to reap. So I want to walk in the belief side and not the fear side. I don't want to hoard up for myself. I want to have adequate savings for when I retire, for when I have need in my family or whatever. That's true. But I also know the way to keep that flow going is to give. And it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into my bosom. What am I doing? I'm laboring in my belief. I've got to get my belief strong because I don't want to operate in worry. What would I do? What would I do if I can't make my house payment? Oh my goodness. You know, some of us, because I'm right there with you. We've already had ourselves out on the street with all of our stuff being evicted. And you haven't even got a late notice yet. You just have a little tight month and you're thinking, what am I going to do? We're walking around with flashlights and candles because you got your light bill cut off. And it's not even cut off yet. Or you just got this pain. It came into your side because you slept wrong and you were all kinked up and you got up in the morning and you're walking around and you're going, I knew it. That's cancer. It's just got to be cancer. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? Or you go to work and you say, oh man, I got up this morning, I got this thing right here. The guy said, oh, I know what that is. My uncle had that and he died in three months. He was dead. Man, you better go see the doctor. See, well, all of a sudden now we're going to toil where? Outside the kingdom. I'm going to toil outside the kingdom. Instead, I got to start toiling inside the kingdom. I got to start walking around saying, by his stripes, I am healed. I thank you, Lord, that I know fear that your righteous right hand is extended unto me, according to Isaiah 41:10, that I walk in covenant with you, that you are Jehovah Rapha, and you're my shepherd. Hallelujah. And I just speak to that thing now in Jesus' name and say, go from me. Now, I got to work in that area, and I don't want to work in the other area. If I'm going to get a sweat, let me get a sweat on the belief side of things. I want to see the devil. If I'm going to let the devil see me sweat, it's going to be because I'm laboring in belief. Not because I'm laboring in my own effort. He wants me to work outside the kingdom because out there we can't do a thing. We can push and work and we can try to arrange and we can try to, you know, make things happen and we can wear ourselves out. And the devil said, yeah, that's right. Keep on going. You're going to make this work. You don't need God. You just keep on doing it. And then by the time we get worn out and grow weary, we give up, we get discouraged, and we say, you know what? This thing doesn't work. God's word isn't true. So I don't want to toil. I don't want to labor in the things of this world. I want to labor in faith in order to live in a realm of worry-free existence. You know, I've been working on this for 30 years. Now, this isn't anything that I've been able to do in the last 3 months. I've been working on worry-free existence for 30 years. You say, are you there yet? You know, yeah, but not all the time. I've got to be coached once in a while. I've got to be provoked once in a while. I got to hear a message like this every once in a while just to get a hold of my lapels and my shirt and say, hey. Every once in a while, I got to be reminded of these things. And that's what I felt like I needed to do tonight, is just remind us that it is not our calling to worry. And if you're worrying about life, it's because your belief system is broken. You say, well, Pastor, that's pretty hard. Now, you're trying to tell me I don't believe. How much time you put in the Word this week? How much time have you put in the Word? Versus how much time you've been trying to work it out yourself. Let's weigh it. See, if we got down to it, if I could be a fly on your wall, would I see you speaking your confessions and walking the floor in faith, reading your word, and worshiping in the midnight hour? Or would I see you wringing your hands, trying to figure things out on a piece of paper, and talking to your girlfriend on the phone and crying together? What would I see? What does God see? You see, I got to work on my belief. God's word, let's just think it this way. God's word is the delivery van of faith. Delivery van. You know, you can tell when a big truck is coming down your street. It's got a different sound than a car, doesn't it? And oftentimes, my office is right on the street side, and I'm working on my message, and I hear this big truck coming down. I'll look out the window and say, I wonder what that is. It could be a DHL delivery, or it could be a postal truck. It could be somebody's getting furniture. And I say, oh, man, somebody's getting some furniture over there. Delivery trucks bringing something of that which has been anticipated by that homeowner. Faith. You see, the Word of God is the delivery van of faith. The Word of God, you've got to employ the carrier. You've got to employ the transporter of that which you're expecting. See, you and I have hope, but hope without faith is nothing more than wishing. I wish it would do. Oh, I wish God would. When you wish upon a star, I wish this would change. Wish doesn't do anything, but expectation mixed with faith. Faith is the substance of hope. It's what brings things. It's the delivery. The Word of God is the delivery van of faith. So when I hear that truck coming down the road, whoo, I get excited. My expectation grows. Oh, boy, God, what are you bringing me today? Woo-hoo, hallelujah. Debt-free house? Whoa, glory to God. A debt-free car? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Maybe an insurance rebate? Oh, Lord, I don't know what it is, but I'm expecting. Why? Because my belief level is so high. I live on that level of life most of the time. I can hardly wait when my phone rings. I look at it, I look at it and see who it is. If I don't know the number, I think, oh, glory, this is going to be good. Hello, hello, yeah, this is me. Oh, no, I don't want any, thanks. Sometimes that's what happens, but when it rings, I'm like, somebody's calling me with a blessing. Somebody's trying to get a hold of me. Goodness and mercy are catching up. Because you're living a worry-free life because your belief level is high. Amen? Are you worry-free tonight? And if you're not, don't you want to be there? Don't you want to live a worry-free life? I believe if you can live a worry-free life, you can live to 120. How many like to live to 120? Anybody in this room? Okay, a few of us. I want to live to 120. Now, if I don't make it, don't say, well, he died in worry. But I think worry can kill you early, though. I really do. But you know what? You cannot birth faith and not know it. Let me tell that to you again. You cannot birth faith and not know it. It's like birthing a baby, girls, and not knowing it. How many of you ever had kids in here? Let me see your hand. Have you ever had a baby? Did you know you were having it when it started coming? Okay. Is there anybody in here? Let me ask this question. Is there any woman in here that when the baby was coming down the birth canal, you had no idea, and when it came out, you went, oh my gosh, a baby. Did anybody like do that? No. Okay, so I'm in the right place. That's what faith, when faith is birthed, that's the same process. You can't birth faith without knowing it. It hurts. It contracts. It's pressure. It is on the natural part of our life. It is like trying to get it through a canal that just doesn't fit. And it has to stretch. And faith is going to be birthed once it's conceived. You can't birth faith without knowing it, without feeling it, without sensing it. That's why Jesus said, I looked at him and I saw his faith. How could he see that man's faith that was in the... that was Paul, wasn't it? Paul said, I saw his faith, looked upon him and saw his faith that was in that room and he got healed and sitting upon the... I don't know, I can't remember now. But he said he saw faith. How can you see faith when faith is an intangible? Well, I can see when Tina was in labor. She was like, all those things, you know. I saw she was in labor. You can't help but see faith when it's coming. It's all over you. You're sweating, jumping up and down, writhing. I mean, you're right in there with God. You're just having church. Woo-hoo! What's happening over there? I'm having faith birthed. You can't help it. You could just see when faith is all over people. You can tell it when they come into the church house. I can see it on Sunday morning, but I can see when they don't have any faith. Sitting back there going, man, he's still talking? Man, he's still talking? And some people in worship, man, their faith begins to build. They're just like seeing those walls of Jericho come down. They're seeing them coming down. And suddenly now their worship is more intense. Because they're birthing faith. It's an awesome thing, man. It's an awesome thing. So you can't bring faith, birth it, and not know it, sense it, feel it. Hope alone is an idle wish. You got to mix it with faith. In Hebrews chapter 4 again, look at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4 again, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Ceased from your own works when you enter into rest. Then he said, let us labor therefore to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Stay at the job. Stay on the job of the Word until you birth faith, which will ultimately result in rest. See, we've got to get in our mind, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not just going through a religious exercise. I'm going somewhere. I am working on the Word to increase my belief, which contains the works of God. I need God to work in my life. Anybody need God to work in your life? Okay. So I need God's working in my life. Well, I got to get my belief up. He said the work of God is belief. That was in John chapter 6, verse 27. So now that I'm working my belief, I'm going to birth faith. When faith starts birthing, it is an experience. And it's ultimately going to lead to rest. So I'm going somewhere in this thing. I am working towards rest. All my needs met. Peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. God has met my need. God has taken care of the situation, the circumstance. There's no more pressure about the thing. See, in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 4, and I'll make that my last scripture. Come on, let's take a look at it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Anybody that's born again is victorious over the world. So everything the world throws at you, you can beat. But where is the victory? In our faith. How does faith come? By working the Word, where our belief is born. And belief births faith. Faith comes forth and produces rest. So we see now in the Scripture that faith is the victory and it conquers the world, even our faith. So it's a ticket to a life at rest. There's always a way out of every situation. I don't care what it is. There's a way out. And sometime when you're in the middle of it, that may not look like there's a way. You may not be able to put your finger on it because it's not in the natural. But I have to tell you, in 30 years, or I don't know how long I've been serving God, a long time, 35, ooh, Jesus, 35 years I've been born again. God has never let me down. He's always worked it out. How does He do that? How does God work it out? Simple. Because our faith overcomes the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So I got to be careful that I don't work the labor of the world trying to figure out my life. I've got to stop that end of it and get over here on this side of it and work the belief side in the Word of God. So when the devil has you pinned down, declare this: I'm going to locate the way out. When he has you backed up against the wall, I'm going to find a way out. When he has you locked in an ice cooler, in a dungeon, in the back room of some building, nobody knows you're there. It doesn't matter where he puts you in a circumstance. Your name's MacGyver. You can't be contained. You can't be defeated when you operate the works of God. Jesus said, I am the way, and the Word is the way. And finding it is the difference between life and death. Now say this with me one more time. Lord, you've given me your peace.
Lord, you've given me your peace.
And I will not let my heart be troubled.
Neither
will I let it be afraid.
I will not let myself be fearful,
intimidated,
cowardly,
or unsettled.
I will work the Word
and produce belief.
And birth faith
and enter rest.
Instead of worrying,
I will pray.
And my praises
turn my worries
into victories.
Thank you, Lord.
Lift up your hands and say with me,
thank you, Lord, for guiding me,
for guarding me,
for keeping me in perfect
peace.
I let peace rule over my life.
I let Christ rule over my life. I let the Word of God rule over my life. I live a worry-free existence. Now, how many believe that tonight? Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. I want to come after worry. I want to come after worry like somebody breaking in a junkyard. I want to be the junkyard dog. I want to come down on that thing tonight. And I just want to pray, not to pray that the situation change, but pray that you and I will increase our belief. You know, I want you to get focused on where you got to work at. And so that's my prayer tonight. And if you're pinned down, you're backed up in a corner, you're having, you know, challenges, difficulties like that, then tonight you say, you know what, I've had enough of this. Devil, this is enough. I've had enough of this. And some of you may feel that way right now. You say, I've had enough of this. I'm making a change in my life. I'm not going to work and labor in this thing in the world anymore. I'm going to work and labor in the Word, and I'm going to increase my belief level. I'm going to get it up at least one notch. Now, the other day, I had a test run. And you know, every time you have a test, you know, you got to have results. You know, if you take a test, you want to know what grade you got, right? I mean, people are always worrying. I remember when I was in Bible college, I take a test. It's, well, I haven't posted the grades yet. I hope I passed. I look up there and I see a grade and I think, praise God, I got it. I got it made. I took a test the other day, and it's a dangerous test. It tells you how much body fat you have. Ooh, that's scary. And I had a certain percentage, and I'm not telling you what it is. I was average for a guy my age and size and all that. But you know what I said? I'm gonna decrease that by 1 point in a week. That was my goal. I'm gonna decrease it by 1 point. You know, some of us today need to set a goal. I want to increase my belief level by 1 point by next Sunday, by next Thursday. I want to increase by 1 point. Maybe I'm a 3. I want to go to a 4. Maybe I'm an 8. I want to go to a 9. Whatever it is, I need, because I know in belief is where the works of God come forth, right? So how many today will say, Pastor, I just make a commitment to increase my belief level at least 1 point. Amen? Glory to God. That's good. That's good. How many others are here tonight and you say, you know what? This is a Thursday night, just a small group, it's just family, and I'm glad you're here. But how many would say, you know what, I've been pinned down and pinned back, and I've been laboring on my own, but you know, tonight I've decided I'm crossing the line, and I'm gonna start working in God's kingdom, the works of God. And I'm not gonna let the devil torment me anymore in my mind. And I'm gonna make that change. Let me see your hand. Okay? Lots of people making that change. If you feel this tonight that you need to do this, I believe there's something powerful about coming out from where you are, making a move to the altar of God. I remember before we built this building, and some of you might have been here the day that we had the groundbreaking. We drew out the steps of exactly out in the field where this building was going to go. And we said there at that altar is where people are going to be married. People are going to be sent off to be with their loved ones in heaven. They're going to be with Jesus. There at that altar, people are going to find Christ. People are going to be healed and touched. People are going to walk into the presence of God and receive a blessing right there at that altar. There's something about the altar. I don't know what it is. It's just a place that God meets people of faith.
Amen.
So it's just a bunch of steps. Well, we declared it's an altar. It was built as an altar. It's a built as a place where God's people come. And so tonight you say, you know what? I just want to go to God. I just want to go to God. I don't really necessarily need anybody to lay hands on me. I just need to go to God and say, Father, I'm making a covenant with you to walk worry-free. If that's you tonight, as we worship, as we fill this house with His praise, let your worry turn to praise, and let your praise turn to prayer, and confession of God and what He's going to do. Move out from where you are. Find a place up here tonight. Let's just take about 2 or 3 minutes. Come on. That's you tonight. Not everybody's going to respond. I know that. But some of you need to. You and I need to do that. Some of us need to do that. Just find a place right now. Yes, Lord. I just need to find a place. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.